Join Kenneth Copeland and David Barton for a special Believer's Voice of Victory as they study God's Word about God's righteousness and influence in our nation. A timely message that will strengthen your thinking and encourage your heart.
Welcome, everybody, to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Would you join me again today in welcoming David Barton to this broadcast? Praise God. David, I really appreciate your calling and your ministry and the wholehearted 110% way you go about doing it. Huh? How long have you been in the ministry that you're in now?
I think we started doing this probably in 88, so 20 years thereabouts.
Yeah, every bit of it.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we appreciate it, man.
Oh, my pleasure. What God's doing.
You've been a lot of encouragement, a great help to me and to my family and this ministry and to a lot of people across this country.
Good.
Because God not only reveals things to you, but you have the tenacity to do what God's called you to do and to dig in there and find out things. Mm-hmm. And Father, we thank you.
Yeah.
We thank you for your word. We thank you that no born-again child of God needs to be in the dark about anything. Because your word and your spirit, hallelujah, we are called of you to walk in the light. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read something from the sixth chapter of a book of Ephesians, and it's going to come out a little bit different than it's coming out different than what I've thought about it until the Lord led me to do this. In the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, in order to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, you're going to have to be obedient to Him. Mm-hmm. You can't be strong about anything. Number one, if you don't know the will of God on something, you'll stagger around about it. Well, God's written word is His will. He doesn't write one thing, say another, or think, or will something else.
That's right.
And if you know it and don't do it, then that's a sin. And so that'll open the door to the curse to manifest in your life.
Yeah.
So, and he talks about putting on the whole armor of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Having done all to stand, stand. Now, if we're disobedient, you take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You can stand up under anything with the armor of God, but you're going to have to walk by faith, you're going to have to walk by love, and you have to stay obedient to the Lord and pray before you do things instead of just bouncing off out there and doing whatever the world does.
Yeah.
Now, listen to this. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand on what? What am I supposed to stand on? When it comes to these candidates, what am I supposed to do here? I mean, am I supposed to get all my information off of Fox or CNN? Off of Channel 5 or Channel 4? I mean, what am I supposed to do? I am a believer here. I want to do what I'm called of God to do. So now, number one, if I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, then I'm going to have to follow Him and stand on what He says, based on His word, on Scripture, not based on what my grandmother did or grandmother didn't do, and not based on what I thought somebody else ought to do, or not based on what I heard these candidates say, because they might not have had time to say much. They won't let me see over about 10 seconds of any of them.
Yeah, that's right.
And even when I hear one of them speak, I mean, what did I hear?
Yeah.
Same thing I heard the last time, which is about nothing.
Yeah, that's
right. So, David, There got to be something somebody's standing on here. I need to know what they're standing on. If I'm going to make my stand on what God has said, then I need to know what they're standing on before I hire them to work for me.
That's right. And there's two ways we can know. One is the platforms that they put out saying, here's what I believe, here's my agenda, here's what I'm going to do. The other is the votes they have already made. Because these guys have been in office, we can look and see. And we talked yesterday about their votes. So let me give a couple of websites that people can use and go see what they've done. You know, I mean, they can say all sorts of things. Let's see what they've done. So there's one called votesmart.org. Votesmart.org, completely nonpartisan. And as you get there, up in the upper right-hand corner, votesmart.org, you'll see a thing that says presidential candidates. You click on that, and it's going to pop up all the candidates. Now, typically in any presidential election, any election year, we're going to have 15 to 17 presidential candidates on the ballot. We've got Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent, Green Party, the Peace Party. We've got the Reform. Everybody's out there. So you're going to see the pictures of candidates. Click on the pictures of the candidates you want to check. If it's Obama, if it's McCain, whoever it is, click on the pictures. And under the picture will come up a list of things you can check. You can check their voting records. You can check their positions, their platform, all the things there. One I really like is called Interest Group Ratings. Interest Group Ratings. And the reason I like that is every session of Congress with 10 to 13,000 bills per session, even the congressman can't keep up with all those bills. You have interest groups. You have people that care about agriculture. They'll look at every agricultural vote that person makes. You have people that care about defense. They'll look at every military vote.
So you can really be selective.
Oh, yeah.
You can find out what they voted, what they didn't.
I can go to that interest group rating. I can say, I want to know where they are on biblical issues. And so I'm going to look at the ratings of the pro-life groups, the ratings of the homosexual activist groups. I'm going to look at the ACLU rating. ACLU, really secular. If ACLU likes them, they're not my candidate. Yeah. You know, if the ACLU says, oh, this guy's got 100% voting record for the ACLU on secular issues, that's not where I want to go. I don't want secular stuff permeating everything that happens. And if I look and Planned Parenthood, pro-abortion says, oh, they got 100% record with Planned Parenthood, not my candidate. So the interest group ratings are very important because those are the groups that watch all these issues. And I can see my worldview in one of those issues and say, you know, Family Research Council, that's a solid biblical group. They like this candidate. They don't like that. So I can tell by the vote. So that's one thing. Below the presidential level, if you want to know what the governor believes and what the others believe, there's a website called ChristianVoterGuide.com. Go there. It's the United States. Click on your state. Click on Kansas. Click on California, Florida. And it'll bring up the Christian voter guides in your state. And you can see what the candidates believe in your state. The other is on presidential stuff. On our website, wallbuilders.com, we have a presidential voters guide. So that is based on their votes. We've taken biblical votes out, highlighted it, put them side by side. That's an easy way to see. Now, platforms is where it gets a lot of fun. Because this is what a vote shows you is what they've done in the past. What a platform shows you is what they want to do in the future, and that there's a difference.
Oh, uh-huh.
So a platform says, here's where we want to go. A vote says, here's where I've been. So when you look at platforms, that tells you what their agenda is. They're saying, if I get elected, if I get the Congress I want, here's what I'm going to do when I get there. So one is looking back, one is looking forward. So to look back, you go to votesmart.org, you go to christianvoterguide.com, you go to wallbuilders.com. To look forward, you go to their platforms.
Now, David, what holds their feet in the fire over that platform? When I learned this from you, that the presidential candidate has an enormous input into that platform, mm-hmm. whatever that party is.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk about the platform process for a minute. Let's back up and do that. Because what a platform is, all right, you have voters, and then you have party people who are more active in one party or the other. You have typically about 40% of America Democrat, 40% Republican, and about 20% is independent or third party or whatever. So on the 80% that belongs to one of the two major parties, you have 100% of voters, but about 40% are going to be Republican or Democrat voters. And within that, you're going to have about 10 or 15% that are Republican or Democrat activists that are very active.
Yeah.
And so what happens is on states have primaries or caucuses. On that night, Iowa has a caucus, Texas has a primary. Essentially the same thing, but on that night, as people go vote, the activists are going to meet later that night and start writing a platform for their party for that year. So that's going to represent maybe 10-15% of the voters. And they're going to get together, in, for example, in Iowa, there were about 2,000 caucuses, precinct caucuses, for each party. And so what you would have is maybe 300 in that meeting, maybe 13 in that meeting. In Texas, we have thousands of precinct meetings on primary election night, and anywhere from 3 people to 300 people may gather there, and they're going to choose the delegates who are going to go into the next level of the party process, and they're going to start writing their platform. So you get hundreds of planks brought in. And, you know, a guy will walk in and say, I want the party to pass a law, or I want the party to do something. One of the planks that I saw this year is, we want the Texas Highway Department to mow the medians more often. You know, so that's a plank he wants on the platform. So, you know, what happens is people bring in their concerns. Then those people from that group are elected to go to a county level. At the county level, they will take dozens of precinct platforms, bring it to the county level. You have a fewer group there, and they will say, well, here's the platform for the county. Here's what we believe as Democrats or Republicans in our county. From there, they're elected to a state convention. And in Texas, we have 254 counties, so 254 counties bring their platforms to the state, and you create a state platform. Now, in Texas, Texas has the largest political convention in the world. About 17,000 people are in the party process at the convention. Out of that, they choose about 277 that go to the national convention. So we've started back here with 2 million voters. We've now reduced it down to 277, but all along the way, we've been building a platform. And so now we have finished the state platform. Now we're going to the national platform, Democrat-Republican platform. So out of those 17,000, they choose 277 to go. Those 277 meet and say, well, we have a platform committee that is going to meet in Denver for Democrats and in Minneapolis for Republicans, and we want representatives to the platform committee. So those 277 will choose 2 to go represent the state at the platform committee. So the platform committee for both parties, you've got about 100 folks on the platform, 2 out of each state, 50 states, and you've got 7 American territories, Samoa and Guam and Virgin Islands, mm-hmm. et cetera. So about 107 folks will gather there. And this is where the president weighs in, because a platform is 90% of what the party believes, and the candidate believes that as well, because they're part of that party. But the candidate says, but I've got some other specific things I want to do as well. And so what will happen is the party or the presidential candidate's people will be there to make sure that something doesn't get in the platform that embarrasses that candidate, that is opposite to what that candidate's been campaigning over. You know, if a candidate's been campaigning a certain position on energy and the platform says something opposite, that's a real problem for them. So they will take and they'll have their representatives there to remove things out of the platform they disagree with and to insert specific things that they want done legislatively. And so when you come and look at the final Democrat and final Republican platform for this year, you're looking at 90% of what the parties believe, that is the activists and the voters in the party, and you're looking at the other 10% of what that specific candidate said, I want this specifically in here. But it's 100% what the candidate looks like and believes. So it's real easy to see what their future plans are going to be. For example, I printed before we came in here both the Democrat and Republican platform. And what you get out of both of them is their future specific agendas.
Where do you get that? Where can people get it?
These are really easy to get online. They're all over the website. Now, if you go to the Democrat National Party or the Republican National Party, they will have the platforms. You can download them. You can read the whole thing. If you will just get on and Google online for the Republican platform 2008 or Democrat platform 2008, it'll pull them up and you just read them. Yeah. And so you can do quick searches. I did quick searches for moral issues, looking at where they are on morality issues. And so, for example, something like marriage. If I take the marriage issue, the Democrat platform talks about here at the end.
Now, this is word for word, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We oppose the Defense of Marriage Act and all attempts to use this issue to divide us. The Defense of Marriage Act says marriage is a man and a woman. So they specifically say we oppose it. Now, Obama has said, if I get elected, I'm going to repeal it. I'm going to take that off the books. We don't want on the books that marriage is a man and a woman, because that discriminates against those who don't believe that.
You go to the Republican Party, read the Republican Party on marriage. They say the family is the basic unit of society. We oppose initiatives to erode that. We recognize the importance of having a father and a mother who are married. The two-parent family provides the best environment, stability, and so they go through theirs as well. So I can look at both of those and say, okay, if they get an office, here's what they're going to do with marriage. I can do the same thing with abortion. If I want to look at and see what they do with abortion, I can do that as well. As a matter of fact, both parties changed their platform on abortion this year. And the Democrats made theirs. Here's a statement of Democrats on abortion. The Democrat Party strongly and unequivocally supports Roe v. Wade and a woman's right to choose a safe and legal abortion, regardless of ability to pay, and we oppose
any... Regardless of ability to pay.
Even if they can't pay, we want them to have an abortion, we'll pay for it for them. So we think that the whole nation should be paying for people to have abortions. So they oppose anything that says you can't use taxpayer dollars for abortion. So not only do we support abortion, we support it regardless of whether you can afford it. And we oppose any and all efforts to weaken or undermine that right. So that is their position on abortion. And then...
any and all efforts to undermine that right.
Parental notification. I want to be notified before my daughter has an abortion. That undermines it. So they oppose that. Parental consent. Hey, I don't want my 13-year-old daughter getting an abortion unless I say it's okay. They oppose that. They think that that's okay for a daughter to get it without parental consent. I don't think we should be spending taxpayer dollars. A lot of us don't support abortion. I don't think we should be using my money to do somebody else's abortion when I think that's killing a human life. Well, we oppose that. We think your money should be used for that. So there are 19 funding bills in Congress that deal with money. That say that we have the Hyde Amendment that says you cannot use federal funds for Medicaid abortions. You know, pay for it yourself, but the government's not going to pay for that abortion. Or we have the Mexico City policy that says you cannot use federal funds to do abortions overseas through State Department funds and other nations. We have other amendments that, for example, say you can't use federal funds to do abortions on military bases. And so there's 19 different funding provisions that limit and say we're not going to use taxpayer. We haven't stopped abortion, but we're just going to say that not everybody has to pay for an abortion. Well, they say now everybody should pay for an abortion. So that is a position they've taken the platform. There are what are called informed consent laws. A law just passed, grab this, South Dakota passed a law upheld by the 8th Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, and it says before you perform an abortion in South Dakota, the doctor has to have the patient sign a written statement that says, I understand that by doing this abortion, I'm killing a unique living human being. And you can't have an abortion unless you sign it that you're killing a human being. Well, guess what? No abortion doctor in South Dakota wanted to do that, so every abortion doctor left the state. South Dakota does not have a single abortion doctor in the state willing to perform an abortion. But see, that is a provision of law because the court said, yeah, you're just simply telling the woman what is happening. What's wrong with saying that's called an informed consent provision. We're informing the woman. There is a bill that says before a woman has an abortion, she's got to have a sonogram so that she can see what is about to be removed from her. They oppose anything that would give more information because the more information you get, the less likely you are to have an abortion.
Sure.
And so that's what that is. All of those are legislative bills that are out there, and they're opposing any and all of those. And so that's also where you have a voting record. Some of these things have already been voted on. Some of them are just proposed. And so you can check the voting record to see what's there, and you can check the statement to see what's out in the future. So that's the one side.
Now, what this means to me, this puts me in the same position in my mind when I'm thinking about this. I think, what would I do if someone came in and wanted me to pay for their abortion? Mm-hmm. Personally, they come to me and said, I'm going to get an abortion, and would you help me do this?
Mm-hmm. Am I going to pay for your abortion? And the answer here is yes.
Yeah, if I pay for it, if I choose to pay for it, I'm liable before God.
That's right.
Because I assisted this thing.
I'm now contributing to you.
I am equally guilty with the person that did it. Now, it does not exonerate me just because I like this guy's financial policies better than I like the other one.
Mm-hmm.
No, that doesn't excuse me
it does not.
From this. It leaves me in a place where I can't stand because I'm having to stand on this in order to do it, and I can't stand on this.
You can't stand on that and do this. And you can't be inconsistent and expect God's blessings.
No,
it's not going to happen. Now, the other side is the other platform. If you read it, it says, faithful to the first guarantee of the Declaration of Independence, we assert the inherent dignity and sanctity of all human life and affirm the unborn child has a fundamental individual right to life which cannot be infringed. We support a human life amendment to the Constitution. Now, I want to just take this for a minute, speaking from experience. The first guaranteed right in our government is the right to life, then liberty, then property. But the right to life is first. And people say, well, 200 years ago, that didn't deal with abortion. Nonsense. In the 1790s, we were having big abortion debates in America. People don't change over time. Technology changes over time. As long as there have been pregnancies, there have been people who didn't want to be pregnant. There have been people who wanted to end that pregnancy. We had abortion. I've got a book on abortion in America from 1808. I mean, we got abortions going early on.
Wow.
The difference is in 73 is the first time we legalized abortions. So it's been out there for a long time. They say there is a guaranteed right to life. Now, they said that is an inalienable right, and the Declaration says it is the purpose of government to protect inalienable rights. Here's what I have learned across time. The first of all rights is the right to life. If you will not protect that inalienable right, you won't protect the other inalienable rights that are out there. I can, with a 95% guarantee, I can look at how a candidate in Congress or the U.S. Senate or House votes on the right to life issue. And I can tell you that they will also vote against religious liberties, religious expression, another inalienable right to life. They will vote against marriage, the defense of the home, Third Amendment of the Constitution. They will vote against the protection of private property, another inalienable right protected in the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. They will vote against the right to defend yourself, keep and bear arms. And if they're wrong on the right to life, they're wrong on every inalienable right under that. You lose all inalienable rights.
It just goes in that direction.
I can, with a 95% certainty, tell you that if they're wrong, if they hold this position on abortion, I can tell you what position they hold on religious expressions, on the right to self-defense, on marriage. Everything else flows from that. If you get that wrong, and that's why the founders listed it as the first of the inalienable rights, and that's why we said government existed, is to protect that right. I've got writings from founding fathers that say, look, the right to life is given by God. It is so important, we don't even allow parents to take the life of a child. Parents didn't bring the child in the world. God brought the child in the world. Parents don't have the right to take. So we just didn't flat allow abortions, and that's why how important it was. And that's why reading platforms and reading the platforms and where they're on marriage.
They don't call that platform for nothing.
Well, it's where you stand.
That's where they stand.
It's where you stand. We're telling the world the first platform that really got big in American history was 1856 when the Republicans said, we want a platform to tell the world where we stand on slavery. We got 9 planks in our platform, 6 of them opposed slavery.
Yes, sir.
Here's where we stand.
And if you go back and read those, the general purpose, a lot of things have changed since before the Civil War when Mr. Lincoln and Mr. Douglas were elected.
Yep.
But the general purpose and idea of men and women had never changed because the only thing that can change it is God His Word and His ideas.
That's right.
And when you look in, it's amazing how closely entwined they still are.
That's right.
And you go back and you look at that, the important thing being, we'll close this broadcast on this today, if I'm on a stand having my loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness so that I can withstand in the evil day and to stand against what Satan's trying to bring on me, I have to, if I'm going to stand here, I got to pick something like I can stand on there.
That's
I can't mix them.
Yeah. You're standing on something.
We're out of time. David and I'll be back in just a moment.
From its earliest moments as a fledgling union, and for decade upon decade, Americans recognized the Holy Bible as central to the shaping of a strong, enduring society. Today, this legacy of scriptural influence is under attack. So, Kenneth Copeland Ministries is pleased to present The Influence of the Bible on America. David Barton of Wall Builders hosts this 90-minute DVD that sets the record straight.
So in this program, we're going to see firsthand the historical records that categorically prove the Bible has directly affected the most important aspects of our culture.
This inspirational DVD is a must-have resource for believers around the world. Barton presents the words, pictures, and undeniable documents of America's moral and religious heritage. The influence of the Bible on America is a roadmap for future greatness, not only for America, but for communities and nations around the world. Also included in the influence package is the book, The Bible, Voters, and the 2008 Election by David Barton, a simple and clear resource of scriptural answers to help biblical voters make informed biblical evaluations in their elections. Order the Influence Package today for $20 online at kcm.org or when you call 800-575-4455. Order this timely DVD and book package and begin walking in the authority and influence God has given you.
How would you listen to 2 Corinthians 5:17? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new and all things are of God, who has already reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He's already done that. He's already on your side. Now he says that God was reconciling the world unto himself, not holding against you your trespasses. Then, and it says, now you come reconcile yourself to God. If you will allow him to go ahead and be on your side, he's already decided and made that choice in Christ Jesus. So if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have anything to stand for on. All of your standing is on sifting sand and its destruction, not only in this life, but in the one to come. Pray with David and me right now. Just pray it out loud. Oh, God in heaven.
Oh, God in heaven.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I repent of the past.
I repent of the past.
I receive my forgiveness.
I receive my forgiveness.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
And fill me with your Spirit.
And fill me with your Spirit.
I receive it.
I receive it.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. If you prayed that with us today, let us know. Use the information on your screen. I'm going to send you these 5 little books to help you get started studying your Bible. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, take the next step toward understanding who you are in Christ. Request your free salvation package online at kcm.org. 5 free books that will help you begin your exciting new walk with God. This is the year of the fullness of blessing, your year to receive the blessing without measure.